We set up a site, with a padding of towels and paper towels, just inside a glass door that overlooks our deck and the harbor. It was apparent then that the gull was also leg-injured. It stood, but could not walk. In the first days, one pink foot turned black and withered. Later, the remaining foot would do the same. When that happened, we built up the perch to compensate, that he might still see outside. At the end of the day, when it grew dark, we turned him around to face the room, that he might be part of the evening circle. He loved the light. In the morning, when I came downstairs in the half-dark, he was eager for me to lift the shade and turn him around so he could begin looking. He would swing his head slowly from east to west and back and again, gazing slowly and deeply. During the colorful winter sunsets, the descent of the light, he also turned his attention entirely from us and into the world. To understand this, you must know that at other times he was greatly interested in us and watched whatever we did with gorgeous curiosity. One morning I dropped next to him by accident a sheet of holiday wrapping paper, and I very soon saw him pecking at it. Diligently and persistently, he was trying to remove Santa Claus's hat from the Santa figure on the paper. After that, we invented games. I drew pictures of fish, of worms, of leggy spiders, of hot dogs, which he would pick at with a particularly gleeful intent. Since he was not hungry, his failure to lift the image seemed not to frustrate, but to amuse him. We added feather tossing, using crow feathers. I tossed by hand, he with his enormous deft beak. We kept within his reach a bowl of sand and another of water, and began more nonsense. I would fling the water around with my finger. He, again, would follow that with that spirited beak, dashing the water from the bowl and making it fly in all directions. His eyes sparkled. We gave him a stuffed toy, a lion as it happened, and he would peck the lion's red nose very gently and lean against him while he slept.